A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging arts organizations and institutions. Today, we'll head over to the Princeton University Chapel, where Westminster Choir College recently performed its 25th anniversary readings and carols. The event is one of the yearly high points for Westminster students, a virtual feast of seasonal sights and sounds. This year's had a particular sense of poignancy, as the college's future is under a cloud of uncertainty pending a planned sale of the campus by Rider University. We'll hear from some of the performers and others about this campus tradition and the choir college's future. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. New leadership at the New York Philharmonic seems to be a boon for fundraising. The orchestra announced it has raised $50 million to create a fund that will support its operations. Launched by the orchestra's board, the fundraising campaign attracted support from a small group of donors and will enable the orchestra to operate with a balanced budget in the near future. This past September, Deborah Borda took on the position of president and CEO, and conductor Jaap van Zweden, currently music director designate, will step in as music director beginning with the 2018-2019 season. Also on the funding front, Opera America has provided grants to 11 opera companies across the country to foster the creation of new American operas. Among the recipients are Boston Lyric Opera for the Opera of Schoenberg in Hollywood by composer Todd Machover and librettist Simon Robson that explores the late career of Arnold Schoenberg, Glimmerglass Festival, which will present Janine Tesori and Tazewell Thompson's Blue about an African-American couple whose teenage son is killed by a police officer, and Houston Grand Opera, which will stage an opera called Phoenix about the life of Mozart's friend and librettist Lorenzo da Ponte, written by composer Tariq O'Regan and librettist John Caird. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. The season's first snowfall blanketed the Princeton campus last weekend, creating a quiet winter wonderland as audiences waited outside the wooden doors of the Princeton University Chapel for this year's Evenings of Readings and Carols from Westminster Choir College. This annual tradition marked its 25th anniversary and featured the variety of seasonal music performed by the college's various vocal and bell choirs that audiences from Princeton and beyond have come to look forward to each year. This year, the anticipated event took place against a backdrop of uncertainty. It's been a difficult year for the Westminster community. Last year, right before readings and carols, Rider University, which owns Westminster, announced it was looking to merge Westminster's programs with its own, relocate them to Rider's Lawrenceville campus, and sell the Choir College's longtime Princeton home as part of its efforts to stem a growing budget deficit. Several months later, after an outcry from Westminster students, parents, and alumni, Rider revised its plans, agreeing to search for a buyer who might be willing to buy the college, including the campus, and keep the program intact. Rider is currently in talks with an unnamed Asian party interested in purchasing the school, but the administration has been mum on further details. Students have been reassured that the potential buyer intends to keep Westminster running, but the faculty received layoff notices at the end of October, a formality the administration said was necessary since any sale of Westminster would mean they were no longer employed by Rider. The Coalition to Save Westminster Choir College, comprised of parents and alumni, have filed suit against Rider, claiming the university doesn't have the right to sell the campus, which was originally deeded to the college by Princeton Theological Seminary. It's also raised concerns about preserving the legacy of the Choir College, whose ensembles have performed with top orchestras across the world, including regular appearances with the New York Philharmonic and the Philadelphia Orchestra, recorded Grammy-nominated CDs, and sung under the baton of conducting greats, including Leonard Bernstein, Eugene Ormandy, and longtime Westminster conductor Joseph Flummerfelt. We'll hear more from the Coalition and Rider University later. Despite that context, the singers and audience at this year's readings and carols were intent on focusing on the spirit and seasonal joy they were experiencing. Outside the chapel, Margaret Boone from Newark, Delaware, was looking forward to hearing her daughter sing in her second readings and carols. Boone said she was glad she had heeded the suggestion her daughter made before last year's performance.
She said, "Don't bring a Kleenex box, bring a ShamWow." And I thought, oh, okay, it'll be nice, it'll be wonderful. I've been looking forward to this. This has been her dream school for so long, and she was right about the ShamWow.
So what are you looking forward to this year?
I have to say, honestly, I mean, the whole experience, the whole immersion into this season, this is sort of the pinnacle event that gets us really in the mood for the whole Advent. And, you know, the organ is always a wonderful backdrop, but the choirs, that's what we're here for.
The event itself carries a sense of awe and wonder. As the chapel filled with its audience, the brass ensemble, solid brass, and the Westminster Concert Bell Choir performed various traditional tunes, followed by variations on An Old Noel by Marcel Dupré, performed on the organ by Ken Cowan. As the lights came down and a giant star was projected on the vaulted ceiling of the chapel, the silvery tones of I Wonder as I Wander wafted down from the choir loft, where the Westminster Chapel Choir was performing. Then, as they sang James Whitborn's Missa Carolae, members of the Schola Cantorum and Symphonic Choir ceremoniously processed through the aisles forward toward the front. This year's program interspersed readings on the themes of gathering, peace, and giving, with choir performances and carols for everyone to sing. Westminster sang its first readings and carols in 1972. The format then was based on the annual Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols that has become a popular tradition at King's College, Cambridge. James Jordan, Westminster professor and conductor of Westminster Schola Cantorum and Williamson Voices, was on hand to help create that very first readings and carols at Westminster. I visited him after this year's performance to talk about the history of the program at Westminster and the place it holds in the choir college's musical year.
So I came in 1991, and I had chapel choir. In the first year, there was a series called Christmas at Westminster, where each one of the choirs did a concert in Bristol Chapel. And it just occurred to me that it's difficult for a freshman choir to do a complete concert. So what I thought is... I have been familiar with readings and carols as it was done at Bucknell University, because I had taught high school there, and I thought, well, maybe we should start our own. And the unique thing about the readings and carols there is that they have a world-class bell choir. So their readings and carols was on the King's service, but with the bell choir inserted, including the ringing in of the season. So I used initially the first 2 years the same thing. Chapel Choir did the whole thing. We eventually, long story short, after 2 years, it was selling out. We had one night the first year, then I think we had three nights the second year. They sold out, and then I made the suggestion to Ann Sears that we move to the chapel. Well, people were saying, well, it'll never fail, it'll... And then 25 years later, we're now to three sold-out performances. But the genesis was originally the King's thing, which we then, this incredible readings and carols, or lessons and carols. And then we kind of morphed it into our own thing. We extracted the biblical readings and inserted more universal readings. I reduced the number of readings, reduced the number of carols, and then there's been an ongoing genesis. The big change for it was the opening. Originally, we did once in Royal David City. And then one year, I asked Steve Pilkington, can we have a new hymn? I asked him for a hymn. And I didn't hear from him. And then about 3 weeks before that year's readings and carols, I Wonder as I Wander shows up. And I'm thinking, this is not what I thought he was going to do. But And the original one had a processional at the end of I Wonder As I Wander, and we had laser lights that year with stars on the ceiling. And then we eventually thought that, well, no, I Wonder As I Wander, that will be the opener. And then a number of years later, because of my association with James Whitmore, I became familiar with the Misa Carole and made that as a suggestion for the processional, which now is part of the tradition. I think people come just to experience that opening. But it's quite the thing to look back, Rachel, over 25 years. Somebody said to me, and I never think of it this way, but what a legacy you've left the school to have started this. And I have never thought of it that way, but I'm very proud of it. I mean, it's an all-school event. It's not for audition choir. It's only curricular choir. So chapel choir, schola, and symphonic choir. So the select choirs, this is for the entire school to sing. And students have looked forward to it. Kathy Shaw has been part of this since the very beginning with the bell choir. And she and I started off on it. So that's kind of the big overview.
So what type of preparation goes into that then?
We've come up with a formula. So you notice that there's sections on hope or giving, or, and then basically we slot in music according to a broad general theme, and we kind of put the whole thing together logistically in one night. But each choir prepares its pieces, and then we basically put them all together, including the carols. We all rehearse the carols individually. And then the readers for each night are chosen, are coordinated and chosen by Ann Sears, and she also selects the readings. So it's kind of a communal activity. We kind of all know our drill, and then just bring all that stuff to the table on that Wednesday night when we start rehearsing. But the students love it. I mean, they just look so forward to it. And then we have a run on Thursday night. So music Wednesday night, then a run logistically. But we do the processional both nights to make sure all, because that's kind of complicated to get everybody where they need to go and the amount of time they need to go and in the right place.
What goes into those decisions in terms of just it, because it takes it beyond, it's part of this sonorous experience, but there's also a visual element to all of this. How do you put these pieces together?
The visual, I think Joe Miller, I had one idea about doing it, and I'm not very good at organizing things. And what we needed to do was make something that was very efficient with the little space we had, because you only have the steps and you have the back, and the back balcony. So we had to develop a plan where, you know, one choir sings from the front, one choir sings from the back. We flip them. So it was a logistical kind of puzzle that we now have down. So, for example, what people don't know is after Schola gets done at the beginning, they go downstairs and go underneath in the undercroft of the church to come up in the back while chapel choir is coming to the front. I mean, but we have it all worked out. So there's a formula to the movement, too, which we don't depart from. We don't add anything. We don't, because, I mean, when you find something that works, we also try to nail it. This year we went over a little bit, but 90 minutes is what we try to do. Originally, all the candle lighting, when we started, was originally all beeswax candles with the scent, and then obviously because of fire code that, but we hunted all over the planet for those candles that the symphonic choir uses, that they look very close to flames. I mean, it's just really, I think I scoured the internet for those. That I did. The bell choir plays an incredibly important role in this. You know, it's the largest set of handbells in the world. And because of what we've done here, the Mormon Tabernacle now has included bells for a number of years. And Kathy was instrumental in helping them purchase handbells. And I think there's something incredibly Christmassy about bells. And they're a major part of the program, and so is Kathy. Kathy plans the whole processional. Mm. She's the architect, not me. She went boom, bang, bang, gets it done. So I've been thankful all these 25 years, and we started together, so we're the veterans. And I'm very proud of the bell choir's participation and what they bring to it.
What place does this event have in the annual Westminster calendar?
It's For our school, we view it as the most important musical event for our school. Second only, or first, the next following or equal is commencement. I mean, it's the time when the school sings together and it binds the community together in a way that actually was not in the plan. You know, as chapel choir did this for about 8 years alone. And then Joe Flummerfelt said, well, we really need symphonic choir to drive the carols. And then right after that, we added Scola, and then it kind of morphed into an all-school event. And it took years of putting it into the culture before students really loved it as an event that they look forward to. In fact, they're now complaining this year that the carol we commissioned 2 years ago, 3 years ago by Dan Forrest, the First Noel, was not in this year's program. They adore that carol. And I must say it's one of the great carols that was commissioned just for this.
Roughly how many carols have been commissioned through
so
this?
So we now have a full set. So we will always use the Wilcox because that just works, the O Come All Ye Faithful. We now have Silent Night that was done in this program, Ryan Brandow's arrangement. And then Ken Cowan, who used to be professor of organ. Ken's Joy to the World we will now publish. So we're almost, and we had the First Noel. So with the exception of the Wilcox, we now have a full set of music that is Westminster branded that came out of this.
Now, this year there is some uncertainty hanging over the school because of decisions of what will happen. Did that enter at all in the planning? Was there any thought about...
No, I think I speak for my colleagues. We just are doing our business, which is making music the way this school has always made music. And, you know, I think that's what we have to do. I remember being here in 1991, just as the merger started, when the school was at a very low point. And the thing I remember, not one word of complaint from the faculty, everybody just did their teaching. And I've learned from that. And do I worry about our school? Sure I do, because of what it, not only what it means to us, but what it means to the world. I mean, I think people take this school for granted in this immediate area, and they don't realize the world-class impact it has all around the world. I mean, I've every week, maybe at least minimum of 10 emails from people around the world, what's going on. And I'm positive. I'm going to send positive karma into the world. And I also think the school has survived some pretty hideous things from its very founding with Williamson. And it was this vision and this passion that I think will save the day for us.
That was James Jordan, Westminster professor and director of the Westminster Conducting Institute. During readings and carols, he is joined by fellow conductors and professors Ryan James Brandow, Joe Miller, Amanda Quist, and Kathleen Ebling Shaw. Readings and Carols holds a special place in the heart of the students, who hail from more than 26 states, as well as from countries including Canada, China, Israel, Brazil, and the Dominican Republic. Each year, from their freshman year on, they look forward to new roles and experiences. William Landis is a freshman from Wilmington, Delaware.
It was fantastic singing in a college-level choir. As soon as you hear the other older group sing, you know this is for real. This is real college music. Awesome.
Before you came to Westminster, had you heard about readings and carols and how this is such an annual tradition?
I had, yeah. I got really excited to be part of the whole experience, and it was certainly hyped up to be.
What were some of the best things about it?
The best thing about it was hearing the kind of small brass group and organ with the choir and kind of get that large, just orchestral sound. It was fantastic to listen to.
Senior John Franick felt a particular sense of awe as he rang the large bass D2 bell standing in the middle aisle just before the final carol of the evening, Joy to the World.
Walking up that aisle, the center aisle, once they were on the final verse of Silent Night, that's when I really got chills, because if anything, the very first thing that I felt was just how realistic that moment was. It's so grounding. It's just full circle, where I'm walking underneath the chancel where I was once singing with the chapel choir as the senior holding the bell. I know tonight, I think tears are on the way for me, at the very least, but even more than that, that's sort of just chilling, one potentially once-in-a-lifetime sort of music-making.
Like many of the other students I spoke with, Franek is remaining hopeful about the college's future. Ryder had said it hoped to announce the potential buyer this month. Spokeswoman Christine Brown said the parties are still working to negotiate the details of the sales agreement.
At that point, both the partner and the university would love to make an announcement of, you know, who they are and have a formal introduction and allow the partner to be introduced to all of our different constituents, faculty, staff, students, donors, alumni, our community. So they are working very diligently, almost on an around-the-clock basis, to get to that point. But as of today, right now, there is not an agreed-upon term sheet. We do expect that probably to happen sooner rather than later, but I don't know exactly when it is.
Some of the biggest questions have been coming from parents and students who, at least for those who are not graduating this year, are trying to decide what their future holds. What can you say at this point to students who are there as far as what they can expect come June?
In the last couple of weeks, we did have some meetings with folks, and we did assure everyone that Westminster Choir College will continue to operate next year. So students who are there now will continue to go to Westminster just as they always have. And we have guaranteed that the students who are there now, if they so choose and they academically meet the requirements, they will be able to graduate from Westminster Choir College with a Westminster Choir College degree. So we hoped that that would help students make some more confident decisions in their future plans, that Westminster will be there next year, and that if you are a student now, you will be able to graduate with a Westminster degree.
Now, I understand there are applications coming in for future years.
Yep.
What has the application process been like for in terms of the numbers that you've been seeing?
I don't have the numbers with me. I do know we are aggressively recruiting a class for next year, and I'd have to get numbers. I don't know them off the top of my head. I know last weekend there were auditions, so that process is already starting as well. I think those auditions do go into probably January and February. But that process is continuing as always. And I think it's important for everyone to know that the potential partner, the buyer of Westminster, wants that to happen. They want to, you know, for Westminster to continue. They are supportive of us in our recruitment efforts. That is what they are hoping for. They are looking to continue running the choir college, and having the faculty and certainly the students there is important to them and important to that plan. So we are doing everything that we normally would be doing to recruit a class for the fall of 2018.
The parents and alumni in the Coalition to Save Westminster Choir College feel Ryder hasn't been forthcoming enough with details, as well as assurances that the choir college will be able to continue in the future. Constance Fee is a coalition member and president of the Westminster Alumni Council.
Our questions for our organization concern the land use, the 1991 merger agreement, making sure that the stipulations in that agreement are carried through to the new, whatever new contractual arrangements are made, that that land is protected and that Westminster remain on that campus. That's what we're standing firm for with our lawsuit.
What are some of the qualities that Westminster would have to remain in order to conform with the some of these original, you know, the legal grounds for the campus deed?
We have to stay where we are. We have to do what we have always done. And, you know, we want the faculty that we have. We want the programs that we have. We hope that whatever the partner may be, if it's not this one, they had originally said that they would go to the next person on the list. So I don't know what the status of that is, if they're still keeping that in play or not. But we want things to go on as they have gone on. We want to keep our choirs performing with the big orchestras and going on tours. Westminster is thriving. They are not the ones with the financial problems. So we hope that everything that we're doing would go on as is with the new partner without moving.
For the moment, at least as the students soaked in all the atmosphere surrounding readings and carols, the music is what mattered most. Following the afternoon performance, I spoke with freshman Destiny Alasier from Carmichael, California, and Brianna Braun of Langhorne, Pennsylvania, about what they thought about their first ever readings and carols and what the future holds.
I mean, it was a little busy being in bells and in chapel choir, running around, but it's magnificent. Being in this chapel, the sound is crazy.
Pretty magical, honestly. I've never experienced something like this before, and having all the choirs, like, it just sound as one is really beautiful.
What brought you to Westminster in the first place?
Well, actually, it was a music teacher at my high school, which I feel like is a lot of people's story. He told me about this place, and from everything I heard about online and all the videos I watched, it just seemed like such an amazing place. I had to come.
Why I chose Westminster Choir College? Because the sound of, have you heard the sound of the choir? It's just beautiful. And having the opportunity to make music with a bunch of people, and the opportunity to even travel and do music is incredible too as well.
Had you heard about this as an annual tradition, or once you got here, what did you start to hear about it?
I didn't know about this until I came here, and all I heard was everyone said, oh my goodness, I'm so excited for your first readings and carols. It's going to be amazing. It's magical. It's such a good experience.
The same thing, pretty much. I had no idea that readings and carols was a thing, and now that being a part of it, I feel a part of the community.
And what are you looking forward to for tonight, the final concert, the final performance?
I don't know. I'm kind of nervous that I'm going to cry. Everything's so beautiful. And the fact that it's the last one of my first readings and carols series, I don't know. We'll see what happens when it happens.
Yeah, there is some uncertainty about what's happening, you know, where Westminster is headed in the future. Was that any part of what you were thinking, or any thoughts on what's coming ahead in the future?
I have faith and trust that this place is going to last, especially after a night like tonight. If it doesn't last, that would be such a shame, and I know that can't happen. It's too beautiful to mess up.
It didn't stop my decision in coming here, because music continues, and Westminster has such a solid foundation that there's faith and hope that it's gonna continue.
You have two opportunities to hear readings and carols coming up on the Classical Network. The concert will air Monday, December 18th at 8 p.m. as part of Celebrating Our Musical Future, and again, Christmas Day at 3 p.m. More information on Westminster can be found at rider.edu/WCC. By way of full disclosure, as noted, WWFM has agreements with Westminster Choir College to broadcast several of its concerts throughout the year, and I myself am a member of the Westminster Community Orchestra, part of Westminster's Conservatory. I hope you enjoy these conversations I bring you each week on A Tempo, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges in the arts world. Remember, though, that programs like this are possible only through your support of this station. To make a year-end contribution to the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.